our forerunner. Let's talk just a moment about our forerunner. A lot of people talk about Elijah, the forerunner of Christ, but what about our forerunner? You know, we are fortunate, I think, that we sit in a position where we receive hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of letters from all over the world that allows us to know what different people are thinking, what life is like, what they're experiencing, their problems, the troubles of the world, the deception of the world, and what it can do to a human being, inasmuch as you hear from people studying on all levels from God's Word. And there is one thing that we hear so often: I feel alone. And I have problems with that, because for the simple reason that we're never alone. Never, never alone. We always have Him with us wherever we are. And the Word is more than just a printed page. The Word is the Word of God, and Christ is that living Word. And quite frankly, when He makes a promise that we have the victory, then you either believe in the Father or you don't. We got too many people playing Christian. You either believe, and if you believe He exists, and I certainly pray that everyone does, you're in sad shape if you don't. Then surely if you believe He exists, you would believe His promise when He spoke and nothing became everything. And for a person that uses the gray matter occasionally, it doesn't take too long to amplify the prophecies that have come to pass in this generation. What a favored generation this one is. That in the last 50 years, but let's say 60 years, look where man has gone, all the way to the moon to be exact, but look at the technology. But look at the nations as they have aligned exactly as God's Word stated they would. Which means what? God keeps His promises. So the first thing as a Christian that you must do is exercise, I know these are words you hear over and over and over, exercise your faith in the fact of reality, not religion. It must become a reality in your life. If it doesn't, quite frankly, God's never going to bless you. You may talk a mean Christian walk, but God can sort out cons right real quick. And He's the one from whom all blessings flow. So He's got your strings right handy, and He can pull them or cut them anytime He so chooses. You never con God. So, always remember, it doesn't matter how rough it may seem. God has equipped you with a mind, if you're familiar with His Word, the letter He's written to you, then certainly you know how to go around problems, over them, through them, or dissipate them. You're a can-do type person. Those are the people God blesses. Why? They can do it. They can overcome. And, you know, I cannot imagine myself in this dumb world, and I'm not talking about God's world, I'm talking about the world system. If I were not smarter than this world system that we have in existence today, then I would deserve to be an underling. But anybody that studies God's Word can certainly be wiser than the plans and the plots and the economy, the educational system, the political system. It's written. It's in the book. Exactly what comes to pass. So, anyone should be able to do fairly well in this world system if they are attuned to that word, and the title today, If They Are Following the Forerunner. God protects you. He cares about you. You were born into this world as an innocent little babe, and He provided you a mother and dad in flesh, though He is your actual father, to pamper you, unfortunately we do sometimes, to love, to protect, because there's nothing more helpless than a little babe. But your Father, your Heavenly Father, kind of looks at us like that, I think, He thinks, all the way through, because He always has a protector for us when we can't handle it. Just the same as when you were a little child and couldn't handle it, He has a protector, a forerunner, who has set the pace. And if you're paying attention, you're going to see that path that the forerunner forged. And it's so easy to stay in that path. And oh, we all get out of it a little bit, but when the whole world bounces up in your face and bushes and saplings start hitting you in the face, well, you're out of the path, friend. Get back in it. It's a lot easier walking. Okay? So, I want to take, if we may, the Word. John chapter 1, verse 1. Let's look at our forerunner just a little bit. Let's take a good look at the forerunner. Who was our forerunner? Who showed us how to be healthy, wealthy? Well, some of us, maybe a little bit. As long as, you know, many people have different descriptions of wealthy. To me, it's to have everything you want without being too awful far in debt. You're wealthy to having the Father, okay? Yeah. To me, driving a Rolls Royce is not wealthy. I wouldn't drive one if I had one. Can you imagine what the town of Gravette, Arkansas would say if I drove a Rolls Royce down through Main Street? Ooh, instead of my pickup. Ooh, the town would fall apart. It'd be headlines. Preacher gets new Rolls Royce. Okay. I don't need that, all right? It wouldn't help me one iota, and I don't need it. So, to be well off is to have peace of mind. That's what real wealth is. Because one with peace of mind has got it made. Boy, do we have it made in a world that is so stupid. Why? Basically, it follows Satan. And we have power to stomp on him. So be a can-do type person. Let's talk about the Word. Let's think about our forerunner. Chapter 1 of St. John, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now let that sink in. The Logos was with God, and the Word was God. Do you see the oneness within that? What about this in the beginning? You should know where in the beginning was. By that I mean taking into consideration the first earth age. If you're not familiar with the first earth age, you're hurting bad. You're hurting a lot for lack of knowledge, because you don't understand the righteousness of God, that He is righteous, that those that overcame in the first rebellion, as it is written in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, I chose you before the foundations of this earth. The Greek verb, kataberi, means the overthrow of Satan. You with companion Bibles, you have an entire appendix on that. Appendix number 146. That is, you just really need to know if you're not familiar with that, because that shows you the righteousness of God and why He makes different people from the same lump of clay. And it's totally fair. Okay? In the beginning, verse 2, the same what? He. The same was in the beginning with God. The Savior, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that moved upon the waters. You have, in the Hebrew, you have a polysyndeton in the word and. The little English word, A-N-D. And every verse you will note in the creation begins with that polysyndeton, which is to say, and. Which means what? What is this word polysyndendentin? It means that there is a lot more being said that is meant rather than is being said. It means, then the Holy Spirit moved upon the waters at the commandment of Almighty God. That's what that little A-N-D means, over and over and over. He was with Him. And you need to understand this. What name did God Himself tell the Father that Jesus was to be named Emmanuel? What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. See the offices and the oneness of our Father. And it makes it a lot easier to know, no, you're never alone. You're one of God's babies, if I may use that terminology. I don't care how old you are. He looks at you that way, and God only knows, I can understand why sometimes He has to look at us like a bunch of babies because of what we do. You know, you need help. Or does that kid need help? Okay? In His eyes, as a father, that love and understanding is there. Okay? Verse 3, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. I mean, He is it. There is no other. He is our everything. He is the center. Therefore, if you have the wisdom to study His Word with understanding, well, does that mean I have to go into the languages? Yes, that's why you have teachers that participate in the art of and practice of a linguist. But you need to study under a teacher that teaches you how to go back into the Greek, the Hebrew, the Chaldean when it's necessary, so that you, as an individual that's going to stand before God for judgment with no linguist in between you, so a wise person knows occasionally I've got to go back to the language in which God delivered this because somebody has messed it up a little bit. It doesn't flow. And if your common sense tells you it doesn't flow and you love Him, most likely it doesn't. There's something wrong. Not much, but to bring understanding, you need clarity. And the clarity lies within the language in which it was given. All right? Now, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Of course, that light, that life, of course, was that Spirit. That Spirit gives light. Your Spirit gives life to your flesh body. Otherwise, it's a chunk of meat and nerves and muscle, gristle. Your Spirit is the intellect of your soul, and your soul is yourself. And your soul came from God to the mother's womb. So, you're not really, in reality, that much of a stranger to God. It's just that as a baby, we have to learn everything from scratch to decide innocently whether you're going to love God or Satan. That's up to you. Hey, whatever you decide, that's all right with me. Anyone that would choose Satan, I can tell you right now, they would be a little stupid. I could guarantee you they had not read the Word with understanding. They might have read it, but not with understanding, not with clarity, not with common sense. Your Father is more than fair in being with us and in forging the way. That light is that sun, Emmanuel, which is to say it was God with us, paid the price for you that you cannot pay yourself, all right? It's already paid. It was an awesome price for that. When you repent, that sin is forgiven. And please don't be one of these people. I'm kind of going over letters I get. I've repented for this a dozen times and I don't know if God has forgiven me or not. Stop it. That's an insult to the blood shed on the cross. You're on a guilt trip. You're doing nothing but feeling sorry for yourself and not forgiving yourself, because when you honestly repent, God says, I forgive it, and I don't want to hear about it anymore. When you continue talking about your sin not being forgiven, wondering if it was, that's an insult to Jesus Christ that paid the price on that cross for your sins. All right? He is eternal life. And let me tell you something. Don't be one of these people who say, I'd settle for just being able to get along. I'd settle for that. You're a child of God. Why would you want to do that? You're a child of the King. Why not have peace of mind and be somebody, a child of God? Have that life. Okay, verse 6, there was a man sent from God. I'm sorry, we missed one. 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. And anyone that is in the darkness is never going to comprehend the Word of God. Why? They're not worthy, number one. They're not interested, number two. And if they're not interested, who cares? They set their own path. If they want darkness, give it to them. But if you light one little candle in a dark room, or if one soul with God's presence in that soul walks into a room, people are going to notice it. Because a room cannot remain dark when there is a light in it. It may be dim at times, but that light dispels the darkness, and that's what Christ did to the world, whereby He defeated or extinguished darkness, did away with the unknown, and brought in life. Now, 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And as you know, in Luke 1:16, 15 or 16, John came in the spirit of Elijah. Elijah was the forerunner of the first advent. Inasmuch as his spirit, the spirit of Elijah was in him, and he pronounced the coming of Messiah as the King of Righteousness. In the second advent, the announcement is this. It is the coming of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords that rules with a rod of iron. Scriptural. Revelation chapter 19. In other words, of peace. That might sound contradictory. Rule with a rod of iron, but He's the King of Peace? Yes, because He's going to get rid of everything that makes problems. And then there will be peace. All right? So He sent John. 7, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through Him might believe. In other words, nothing is prophecy unless it is foretold first. And then after the fact, you know, yes, that prophecy was true. And John would stand in the River Jordan teaching the message of repentance. 8, he was not that light. John was not that light. He wasn't the forerunner, but was sent to bear witness of that light. 9, that was the true light, which lingereth, which lighteth, and it lingereth too, hopefully, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Or you could even translate that, every person that is going or was going to come into the world. That is to say, even you sitting here that were not born yet at that time, still the same light. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not, didn't recognize him. And that's quite normal. Much of the world today doesn't recognize truth when they hear it anyway. But that's all right. The light still shines and the darkness is gone from the room, and everyone had the opportunity. 11. He came unto his own. It's the same Messiah. and his own received him not. No one. How many people say, well, that means Israel? No, it means everyone. There were many Gentiles that believed upon him when he walked the earth, though he taught the message, go but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Documentation. How many were with him that night that he hung on the cross? Zero, my friend. Zero. They all fled. It's not going to happen again. We will never abandon him again. That generation that was set aside, that generation that will be here when that second advent takes place, will not run, will not disobey him. Why? It's written exactly how it's going to transpire. Those that haven't studied will be deceived. Why? They don't know. They don't know that the false Messiah comes first. And many of them will worship the false Messiah thinking it is Christ. Why? They're ignorant of God's Word. They play church and never quite get around to getting into the Word chapter by chapter and scripture by scripture. A letter that was written to you. And you are a part of that family. And a family member that doesn't care doesn't belong. It's up to you. Your father is wiser than man, this man or any other man. And this is the word of wisdom that he wrote to you. 12. But as many as received him, did it say just Israel? No. As many as received him, to them gave he power. That's authority to become the sons of God. That means the children of God. Even to them that believe on his name. What name? Yeshua. Jesus. Whatever language you happen to speak. Jesus, if you're south of the border. Whatever your language. The Hebrew name, Yeshua. Did you get that? Did you know you had power and authority? That isn't just idle talk, my friend. That's a promise from the living God. I wonder if you ever exercise it. Or do you just let fear when something goes wrong? Oh, Lord, I'm in trouble now. You're a child of God acting like that. Cowardly. When you're a child of the King. Hard to fathom. When you should be a can-do type person. Hey, when you get stuck in the mud, don't quit. Keep grinding. I mean, I'm talking about if you're walking through. You could sink in the quicksand. Swim in it if you have to, but get out. Be a can-do type person. When everybody else fails, you succeed. Well, I'm a little slower than everybody else. That's all right. The rest of them will quit in a little bit because people have a thought span about that long. And if you're dedicated, you'll keep trying till you make it, which means you're the victor. You overcame. You have the authority. It was given to you. But you got to claim it. And you have to know what. What did it say in the first verse? Word. What word? God's instructions that blazes the path for you, that's easy traveling, that makes you different than other people, a can-do individual. Somebody that's not whimpering and sniveling and getting all shook up. Don't ever let them see you sweat. You go on through. You be the stability. You be rather the ingredient that is the stabilizer in the room you're in by knowing God's Word and the power that you have in believing upon Him truthfully enough that you would love Him enough to take, absorb the light, the enlightenment, the knowledge, the wisdom. 13. These that believe, he gave them the power and the authority. 13. Which were born, or you might say reborn, not of blood. We're not talking about blood. We're not talking about flesh here. nor of the will of the flesh. Not just because two parents decided they wanted to have a little child. Nor of the will of man, but of God. That means in knowledge and truth, be born back in to realize who your true Father is, the Creator of your soul. He that spoke and nothing became everything. That someone so powerful as that would give you the authority. And my friend, as we have studied in the book of Ecclesiastes, he's got your chance in his hand. This word chance in the Hebrew would be better translated whether you make it or break it. That's to say your success. And if you don't believe that, you've got problems. Because he determines all your works are in his hand. He can bless it, or he can stick a hole in the bottom of the bucket and it all runs out. Sickness, a flat tire, those little things that can just add up. Well, are you telling me that God can... I really believe it, my friend. Now, I mean, if you are to be blessed, he can cause you to have enough intelligence that you don't go half to sleep talking about somebody and drive off the edge of the road where all the nails are. That's silly and a neglectful person that does that. I did that last week. Woo, that's conviction, isn't it? That's conviction. But that's where you get your flats a lot of times. You understand what I'm saying? His knowledge and wisdom causes you to be sharp and alert in the ways of the world, all right? Whereby you overcome the world. But to be born again, not a little baby. Actually, you could translate, I would be better if, as John 3, many people say, that says born again. It does not. That's not what the Greek states. It says to be born from above, which means the soul comes from the Father and enters the womb. All right? Now, 14. And the Word, the what? The Word was made flesh. That's what Christ was the living Word. And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was it. He healed the sick. For his own self, did he take on this power? No, for us, for you. And I'm going to tell you something. The power and authority that he has given you, if you are truly with him, is a power and authority that you use to help others, not necessarily yourself. It is just natural that if you grow wise from your Father's letter, that you don't have to worry about yourself because you're going to know how to beat the world at its own game. I don't care if it's stocks or what it is. You know what basically overall happens in the future. You'll remember 15 years ago, I told you, I'll start divesting out of military equipment. We're going to have a one world peace system. It's called the New World Order. Where did I read that? Here. You see, you can do real good yourself, but be concerned about your brethren, all right? John 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." In other words, he was the forerunner. He's the one that made the path. "And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." Unmerited favor. You don't deserve it. You're not really that good. But when you repent, and when you love him, he forgives you and makes you, marks it that good anyway. "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." The law is wise as long as you follow it. It'll keep you out of trouble even today. If you don't break any of God's laws, you're not going to get into any trouble. That is to say, generally, all in all. But it won't save you because you're going to break enough of them that you fall short. "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared him. But then what was his name? Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel translate? God with us. If you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. He was the first fruits. You know, I could take a room of 30 people and we could have an area that we had to go through that was very dangerous. And we could ask for volunteers to go through, be the first to go through. Let's follow my old Marine Corps experience. We got to go through that minefield, all right? Who wants to be first? Okay? That takes a little thought, does it not? Well, Christ did that for us. He went through the minefield for us. And He marked each one of them and said, this thing will blow you to hell. The same as He marked the things, you do this and you're going to go to hell. Okay? I mean, He made us a course that is so simple that an intelligent person can work his way through that minefield without much difficulty. Why? He was the forerunner. He was before us. And He's before you today. You know something I truly believe, and this is going to sound a little off-center to some, but it would be as Joshua, no, it wasn't Joshua, it was Elisha's servant. Went up on this hill and he said, if you could just see spiritually what's above us, what God's about to do to them, you wouldn't fret. Well, do you think God's any different today than He was then? He's not. God's the same always. Never changes. He helps you when you need it a lot more than you might think. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if we may. 1 Corinthians 15. This is where a lot of people were following Paul, and they kind of wondered, well, was Christ, did He really rise from the dead? Was He really Messiah? And Paul is reassuring them, even down to the point that he will finally say, well, hey, why would you be baptized in His name if you didn't know He rose from the dead? You'd be baptized for a dead man. All right? Verse 20 of 15, 1 Corinthians. But now is Christ risen from the dead. In other words, He defeated it and became the first fruits of them that slept. Now, what are first fruits? Forerunners. Right? He was our forerunner. Do you know what He did? Do you know why He defeated death? He didn't have to come down here and be born in flesh. Our Father didn't. But He wanted you in the flesh to know, hey, death ain't all that much, friend. It's only death of the flesh that the spiritual body lives on. He was the forerunner. That guarantees us when we put one of our relatives in a hole in the ground out here, the flesh that is, they're not really dead. Because if you believe Christ rose from the dead, so have they, and they are with Him. And that gives you such a warm feeling here, even though we might miss them. But He showed us He was the first fruit of that, all right? Verse 22. I'm sorry, verse 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. In other words, shows us how. You can believe it. 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, there is a war that's going on within you. What was Adam? He's flesh. Well, Christ was too, only the spiritual ruled the flesh in His case. Now, within you is an inner person. It's your spiritual person, your soul. Your soul wants to do this, but your flesh says, oh, no, it's almost dinner time and I'm starving. If you don't feed me pretty quick, I'm going to die. I probably lost 10 pounds already. You know? And it reasons with you. Now, this is the question. The flesh man brought death into the world. Do you want to listen to it? Do you want to take your advice from flesh? I'm talking about your flesh. Your flesh says, it might be, I'll revert back to something we were teasing about earlier. The flesh says, boy, would I look good in a Rolls Royce. Okay? I mean, I really, this flesh body really deserves to be displayed in a Rolls Royce. I don't know why I'm saying Rolls Royce. I don't like them, all right? I don't think it's a very pretty car. All right? But anyway, be that as it may, your flesh will say, boy, I know according to God's word that isn't right, but whoo, let's get it on. You know, who are you going to listen to, friend? You better listen to your spirit body, and you'll always stay out of trouble, because it's life. That's the being that came into the world, the only begotten, that gives us victory over death. Or if you listen to the flesh, and you're going to, I can guarantee you there are many times you're going to listen to the flesh and you're going to regret it later. That's the way we are. Repent and go on. But you'd better make up your mind who you're listening to. Because, boy, can it whisper. Can it whisper over your shoulder, your left shoulder, that is. It will say, it's all right. It'll be okay. Let's go in debt for another 10 big ones and just think what we can accomplish at 18%. And the spirit man is saying, you're out of your gourd, man. You know, because you never borrow money at 18%. Only people that are fools with credit cards do that, when you can go to the bank and get it for 10. You know, I mean, that doesn't make sense, does it? Well, we all have to use credit cards to travel. But pay those suckers off. Even if you have to borrow money at the bank, don't ever use credit on credit cards unless you have a very good one. Oh, we'll just throw that in for what it's worth. That's what flesh will do to you. Okay? Now, but every man in his own order, 23, every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. And of course, that means God's elect that he set aside as a generation that would live in this generation, the generation of the fig tree. Verse 24, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, that's to say the Savior, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, when he's done away with anything that's evil, let's put it that way. 25, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Now, friend, how can you feel like you're alone if God has promised you that Christ will be on the throne as long as there's an enemy? And if you're his brother or sister, and you are if you love him and believe him, your enemies are his enemies. And I'll tell you something that might surprise you. I'll tell you how much love he has. He would look out more for you than he would himself as far as being injured is concerned. He would do that if you're talking with him, if you're asking, if you're honest, if you're not trying to con him. He loves you. He loves you enough that he gave his life for you, his flesh life. And he will be there until all enemies are destroyed. 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Do you know how it's destroyed? Death is destroyed by the second death of Revelation chapter 20. That's to say the blotting out of those that do not deserve to live. It can be documented in the language, there is not heaven and a throne here and a lake of fire here. We're in heaven with God. But here's this pit and your old Uncle Barney that couldn't leave the bottle alone and liked houses and women and things like that, you know, just never could get it together. He's over here just screaming his heart out, burned in like a crisp piece of bacon, and you're in heaven. It sound inviting? I think not. No. The second death is he that blots out that that offends. It doesn't exist. And you know something in your mind, old Barney? He won't even be there, blotted out. everything put under the feet, and then the rain. Okay? 27, for he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under his feet, it is manifest, it must happen, that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, the Father, that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Back to one office. It's beautiful. He set that path for you to follow. It's called the Word. In closing, Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to go through this real quickly, but I want you to understand the forerunner. Do you know why I want you to understand that? Because if you understand the forerunner, you're going to follow in a different life, a path. I said this was going to be simple, but I want you to understand that the clarity and the wisdom that you gain from the Word makes it simple, all right? You need to know His Word. It was written for you. And do you know something? Inasmuch as He died for you, you are part of the brethren. You're part of that family. You are family with Him. And He loves His family. He takes care of His family if you let Him. Verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. God doesn't forget anything, my friend, which ye have showed toward His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. You plant seeds. If you see somebody really having a hard time, you can't help yourself. You're going to say, it's going to be all right. Father will take care of it if you work at it. That's ministering to a saint. What does saint mean? A set aside one. One that God has His eye on and one that at least tries. Verse 11, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to every assurance of hope unto the end. In other words, beloved, stick with it. Don't be a quitter. Sometimes you can talk to an old boy and he is so wound up and woo, zingo, ready to roll and ready to, and the next day you see him and he's forgotten it. He didn't any more mean it than a man in the moon. Just got like a rubber band all wound up, but it's gone. Alright? Nothing to him. Be somebody. I don't care if you're slower, if you think you don't think as intelligent as others, keep at it. You are the wise one. Alright? God keeps records, and your name is there with your works. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, to stick with it. 12, that you not be slothful. Don't be a dullard. That's one that's kind of neglectful. I'll get around to that tomorrow. But followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Hey, did you hear what I said? Do you want to inherit the promise? What is the promise? Power. Authority. A can-do type person. Somebody. A child of God. Not some family that drifts from paycheck to paycheck wondering where next week is going to come from. You may have to live from paycheck to paycheck, but you know what next week brings because you're familiar with God's Word. Don't be neglectful. 13, for when God made promise to Abraham, and this promise is to you, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. God formed it all, and then he swears by himself. Do you know what promises he made to Abraham? I feel sorry for you if you don't, because they're the promises that make you rich, all right? Saying, surely blessings I will bless thee. Blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. You want your paycheck multiplied? You want it to go farther? You want to know, how not to have so much trouble in your life, and it all seems to leak out around the edges because you listen to the flesh instead of your Father. Yeah? The choice is yours. You decide what kind of person you're going to be, whether you're wise or neglectful, or one that is just, I don't care, just whatever is. All right? It'll be all right. Yeah, you'll be all right, all right. 14. Saying, surely, blessing. Okay, 15. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Abraham did. All right? 16. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Boy, you know, it's nice not to have so much strife in your life. And you know, if you're in a position where if a little strife comes along, you're so far ahead of the game that it's just a little challenge before breakfast. Bring them on. Okay? That's what God's Word will do for you when you work in the realms of that authority. 17. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, that you that collect the benefits, the immutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath. 18. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hope upon the hope set before us. You know what immutable means? You got one of these new fancy televisions, you know, it's got a mute switch on it, right? Well, you can stop that noise, whatever it is, but when God made that promise, it's immutable. You can't mute it. You can't change it. It's there. And when he made the promise, being a promise that'll never be changed, and then gave the oath, swore by himself, you have two unchangeable forces that guarantee you you're never alone. And I guarantee you, you may think sometimes you're in so much trouble you'll never get out. You're not. Your Father will never place on you more than you can handle if you use this, the gray matter, after having it cocked with this and ready to fire if needed. All right? 19, sharpen up for me, and we're going to quit in two more verses, but sharpen up for me for these two. This is why we've gone through all this. 19, when hope, with which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, not flesh, my friend, not that little bony, meaty thing you walk around in. It's not your anchor for that, but your soul, the inner man, not the flesh man. Both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. You know what that means? With that, you can even go behind the veil and gain a knowledge of what it's like where God sits and protects you. Do you know why that it says Christ is the anchor for your soul? Because it's not for your flesh body. He's not an anchor for it. That would mean you were tied up and couldn't do anything. It is for your soul to hold you stable. But for the flesh, he was like a boat that preceded you and made a wake for your flesh, and you follow in it. Because, verse 20, whether the forerunner, that's why we came here, the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek being translated the King of Righteousness, if you were to continue reading, meaning Christ brought in righteousness at the first advent. But then later being translated the King of Salem, Melka in the Hebrew tongue is king. Zedek is the just, the upright. But later translated Salem, meaning the King of Peace, because he's going to bring peace. But do you know what's the most beautiful point of all? He can bring peace to your mind today. Someone that has peace of mind is up one on the world. They know how to control their lives. They know that God's going to bless them. Hey, He's going to take care of us. And some might say, oh, well, that couldn't happen. God doesn't do that. Oh, yeah? Turn the clock back 12 years for me. There was a roller rink sitting down here on this hill. We were holding Bible studies in a living room. The years went by, and we remained steadfast. A little congregation of 100 went on national television. In less than a year, we had our own uplink. In 8 months, it was all paid for. By who? God. And now, we move from that building into this one. We've got these 26 acres right out here, you know, to keep expanding on for whatever we decide to do. And you know what? He gives us the bricks for whatever we build as long as it's in His plan. And 10 years, we have become, household-wise, the largest Christian ministry in America. All right? Reach more homes. We buy time on 98 television stations. Do you know how much money that is every month? Over $500,000. A little church in Northwest Arkansas did that? No. God did it. Why? Because we are can-do type people. We don't quit. This staff doesn't quit. Put a snow dip in front of us, we got something that'll take it out. All right? If our dozer won't move it, we'll build a fire that'll melt the sucker. All right? We'll get it. We'll stick John on it. All right? And then look out. But do you understand what I'm saying? You want to see a miracle? Now we are in 31 foreign countries in television 1 hour every day. And I don't know how many millions of homes. That little church in 10 years accomplished that because God blessed it. Because He gave us the authority and the power and the people, the saints. And so few, you here in this little building and scattered all over the world, have pulled together and put the harness on, and we keep those tugs tight. Tugs are trace chains. You all know what trace chains are. Well, I guess not. You know, I've got to update myself, all right? That's harness. You put on a horse and he always pulls, all right? He never slacks off, right? But what I'm telling you, I'm not saying that to try to impress anyone. We can't, the staff or myself or the local congregation can't impress anyone by that because we know God did it, all right? We couldn't have. I don't know how many millions of dollars that God has brought into the organization to build all this equipment and buy all that time every month and everything. We couldn't have done it, so we can't take the credit for it. God did it. My point and the reason I share it, He'll do it in your life because you are why it exists. You are why Christ suffered the cross. As a forerunner for you, a brother or a sister that is more kin than you might think, He cares about His own. So, if you feel the oak branches start slapping you in the face, and the blackjacks, how many of you have ever run off a road, a country road, where there's brush beside it? All right, you know, bam, 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 start hitting the bumper, and so it'll wake you up. You know, but when your life starts happening like that, sit down and hold inventory and talk to yourself and then get smart and start using the authority that God has given you over your life and an influence to all those around you. You know something? You're real precious. He loves you. But always follow the forerunner. it's a lot easier. Okay, Father, we thank You for the privilege of gathering together, for Thy Word be with us. Use us, we ask it in Yahshua's precious name. Amen.